The following message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We would like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road, in Smyrna, Tennessee. Please visit our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.
Now I want to talk to us this morning about this idea of misunderstanding God's Word. Now it's one thing to fail to understand something in God's Word. That's something that can be cleared up if you continue to study with an open and honest heart, desiring to know the will of God. But it's another thing altogether to misunderstand God's Word. That is, to get something out of it that isn't taught there. To twist and to turn a passage of Scripture in such a way as to make it appear to teach something that God never taught. Now, it's a dangerous thing to understand God's Word improperly. Remember in Matthew chapter 22 when the Sadducees came to the Lord, and you know the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't even believe in a spirit or the eternal soul. And so they came to Jesus with what I suppose was their strongest argument against the resurrection, and that is the woman who had had seven brothers as her husband, and whose will she be in the resurrection? She was married to all seven of them. They thought they were pretty clever. But Jesus said to them in Matthew 22, verse 29, "You are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." It's a dangerous thing to misunderstand the Word of God. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter talked about some folks who really, I believe, deliberately misunderstood the Word of God. He's talking about the epistles of the Apostle Paul and the things that he had written. In verse 16 he says, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scripture." And then he talks in the next verse about those who are led away with the error of the wicked. And so it's a dangerous thing to twist and to turn and to misunderstand the Word of God. I want to suggest to you this morning that there is a gross misunderstanding of God's Word in religion today. Now, here are some reasons why. Three reasons. Write them down. Three reasons why God's Word is so misunderstood today. Number one, improper leadership. Improper leadership. Now, I'm speaking of those who are teachers of the Word of God. Whether it's a preacher from the pulpit, or whether it's a teacher from the Bible class, or whether it's an elder or a deacon, it could be a preacher on the television, it could be a college professor, it could be a preacher on the radio, a preacher on the internet, and the list just goes on. And millions of people across the nation lay their devotions upon a certain teacher and a certain preacher. And there's a great responsibility laid upon the shoulders of one who would dare to teach the Word of God. And millions of people misunderstand God's Word because of the teachers they respect and because of the preachers they listen to. Because there are many out there today who are improperly teaching the Word of God. That is, they're teaching things not taught there. They're twisting and turning the Scriptures. Matter of fact, false teachers have always been around. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Peter said there, 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 1, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed, and by covetousness they exploit you." Anybody ever hear of a televangelist who has been arrested because he was exploiting his followers? Absolutely. If you haven't, you need to check out your history on that. There's improper leadership. There are people out there who are teaching religious error. They're not teaching what the Bible boldly and straightforwardly proclaims because the truth hurts. That's right, the truth hurts. When you start just preaching the truth of the Word of God, you're going to start whittling away at the membership of your church. You're going to start whittling away at your audience. And I'll tell you why. The reason is why people don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear whatever makes them feel good. They want to hear preachers tell them, hey, it's okay for you to go on and live the way you're living. Don't you worry about all that. That's what they want. The Lord Jesus Himself whittled away His discipleship on many occasions. Remember the time in Matthew chapter 12 when Jesus was teaching something very difficult there, and then His disciples came to Him and said, Lord, didn't you know that they were offended at hearing this? Well, the Lord didn't apologize for that. The Lord then said, let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind shall lead the blind, then both of them will fall into the ditch. Listen, the Lord Jesus has taught that you need to preach the truth whether it hurts or not. And we have people in our society today, they will distort the gospel because they want to maintain their large following. And that's a shame. And so they provide improper leadership. Those who distort the gospel will be accursed, regardless of how educated they are, regardless of how popular they are, regardless of how nice they are, how good-looking they are, how quick-witted they are, how well they speak, or how much so-called good that they do. Paul said in Galatians 1:6-9, if anyone teaches any other gospel than the one we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Matter of fact, Paul said, even if an angel from heaven were to come down and preach a gospel to you, and it differed from what we had already taught you, let that angel be accursed. In Romans 16:17-18, the Apostle Paul said to regarding those who teach something different than what they had learned, he said, mark them and avoid them. He said, they don't really serve the Lord, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Folks, we need to test all religious teaching and to assure that it accords with the gospel of Jesus Christ before we believe it. Because as John said in 1 John 4:1, beware, brethren, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Test the spirits. We do that by comparing what we're taught with the Word of God to make sure it's so. Acts 17, verse 11. And so, one reason that so many people misunderstand God's Word is because they're led into misunderstanding it. They're led into false positions by improper leadership. Number two, not only is there improper leadership, but there is inappropriate loyalty. Now, some misunderstand God's Word because their loyalty lies elsewhere. If we truly want to understand God's Word, we must approach it with an attitude that says, regardless of what this Bible says, I'm going to do it because I want to do God's will. I don't care how tough it might be. I don't care how many serious changes I'm going to have to make in my life. I don't care how many of the sins I enjoy I'm going to have to sacrifice. I just want to do the will of God. Now, that's the key to understanding the Word of God. That is the desire to do God's will. The desire to do God's will is the key to understanding the Word of God. If I desire to do God's will when I approach the Bible, I'll understand what God's Word has to say to me. The Lord said in John 7, verse 17, he who wills to do His will know concerning the doctrine. So to properly understand God's Word, we must be willing to do God's will. But there are many who would rather do the will of the family religion, the family traditions. Remember the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1:14 when he was reminiscing about the time when he was persecuting Christ and killing Christians? And he said there that he was more zealous for the traditions of his fathers. Now that's the way many people are today. I don't know how many times that I've sat down at a table with somebody and I have shown them a plain, clear teaching, a plain, clear statement from the Word of God. And then they would say, well, you know, my daddy didn't believe that, my granddaddy didn't believe that, and so I'm not going to believe it. And so people, their loyalty is with their family religion rather than what the Bible plainly teaches. And so when they go to those passages that clearly contradict what their family has taught them, why, they misunderstand those passages because they're not really willing to do God's will, although they claim to be. Really, ultimately, they're going to do the will of their family. There are some who are more loyal to their favorite preacher or to their favorite sins. The drunkard goes to 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, where it plainly says that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And they misunderstand that passage because, you see, they still want to claim to serve Christ and go to heaven, but they don't want to give up the bottle either. The homosexual. You know that we have a lot of homosexuals today who are saying, well, I'm a Christian. Now, anybody who's read their Bible, especially their New Testament, knows that that's not possible. What do they do with passages like Romans 1 verse 26 that talks about men with men committing what is shameful and receiving within themselves the penalty for their error which was due? It's shameful. God says it's shameful. In 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 to 11 again, it's mentioned the homosexual and the sodomite, and these shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. What do homosexuals do when they come to plain and clear passages like that? Well, they intentionally misunderstand it, and they come up with some sort of crazy explanation to try to convince us that those passages don't really mean exactly what they say. And so they actually look for an alternate understanding of that passage. And so they misunderstand the words of God. And so the reason folks misunderstand the word of God, number one, improper leadership. Number two, inappropriate loyalty. Number three, inexcusable laziness. Now, to be quite frank, some people are just too lazy to study the word of God. Or they're too preoccupied with other endeavors, whether good or bad, to really sit down and regularly study the Word of God. Now, there are some passages of Scripture that are very difficult and require serious mental labor. Peter said, remember, about Paul's epistles? In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, in which some things are hard. The Greek word there means difficult. They're difficult to understand. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take some time to sit down and to really dig into those passages of Scripture, to pull out some commentaries, to maybe do some word studies, to look at some concordances and some other Bible tools to really help us grasp the meaning of that passage of Scripture. The Bible talks about the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. Now, the milk of the Word are those easy passages. Well, we can just read them one time and we've got it. Oh, that was simple. But then the meat of the Word are those passages. Well, we'll read it one time and we'll crush our eyebrows down and suck on the tip of our finger and wonder what in the world. And then we'll read it again and we'll read it again. And then we really got to think and meditate and study and see what other men have to say. It takes a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of sacrifice to understand the Word of God properly. And many people, they're just too lazy to do that. And that is inexcusable. And they will, as Peter said in 2 Peter 3:17, be led away with the error of the wicked. We need to do as those did in Acts 17:11. We need to search the Scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, to study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly handling or handling aright the Word of God. That's what we're talking about here. We need to learn how to handle aright the Word of God. Not misunderstand it, but understand it properly. And Paul told Timothy, that's going to take diligent study of the Word of God. Now, I know you've got a lot of things going on in your life. I know you have many things going on in your life that are very important to you, but nothing is more important than understanding the Word of God. And three things that prevent that today: improper leadership, inappropriate loyalty, inexcusable laziness.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.